Psalm chapter 19, verse 11. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Thank you, Lord, for bringing all of us today to a place where we are not worthy. Thank you, Lord, for helping all of us to be in the tabernacle where we are not worthy to stand. And thank you, Lord, for allowing all of us to breathe, to be alive today, where we are not worthy to see this day. But all in all these things, O Lord, thou art worthy. You are holy. And you are our only strength. And you are the only reason. And you are the only purpose that we are all breathing. And we are all, O Lord, facing this battle of righteousness to be reconciled back with thee, to be redeemed, that we complete this journey from glory to glory. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day of fellowship, this wonderful day of gathering, assembling as a congregation of the Lord Almighty. And Lord, we pray that you touch us with your heavenly touch, with your mighty hand, the same way you touched thy servant Daniel. And Lord, may you touch us. And may our flesh to be weakened and weakened, that we all crucify our flesh to the cross with the power of the Holy Ghost. And may our spirit to grow in strength, in wisdom, in understanding, to be conformed to the image of God, to grow, to be of age as the bride who is ready for the marriage, as a wise virgin waiting for the Lord's coming desperately by trimming her lamps, to be sensitive, to be watchful, to be humble, to be truthful, to be simple, to be faithful, to be worthy of being the wife of the Lamb, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, we invite thy presence, we invite thy walk in the midst of us. When you walk, the land is healed. When you touch, we are all healed. In your presence, we are all revived. In your, O Lord, mighty power of anointing, in your soaking, in your rain, we are all renewed, restored, repaired. And Lord, we invite thee, the great physician, to come and discern the body of Christ and to come and heal the body of Christ. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Greetings to you all. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we thank the Lord for this day. By God's grace, we will continue from last Sunday. The life of Daniel is the actual title of the sermon, but let no name be glorified in the midst of God's congregation. So, the perfect title is Discernment in God's Righteousness. That is the theme of the sermon series. It could be easily discernment of God's truth, discernment of God's righteousness, discernment of this, of that. But the bride of Christ should think about to be inside, not to witness something far away from outside. So, scripturally, the most perfect, accurate essence of what we are going to learn from the sermon series is discernment in God's righteousness. Witnessing what the Lord is doing inside Jerusalem, not outside Jerusalem. Witnessing what is inside the tabernacle by being present inside the tabernacle, not to stay outside and simply witness. So being inside the Garden of Eden, is way different than standing outside the Garden of Eden and just admiring the beauty. Because there is still a gate between the Eden and you. So, may the Lord bless us that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever we decide, do not decide based on the Word of God. Decide in the Word of God. Because on-off is a work of the devil. He will always paint a beautiful picture using the scripture to deceive the people of God by quoting this verse to that verse. But when you are the part of the Word, you will be inside the burning furnace and you can have a closer fellowship with the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Prince of Peace, the firstborn of the church, the Prince of Life. For all of us to have that wisdom, we must be inside. And what is the inside? Through fellowship. Amen? If you look at the pattern of the whole world, what is service? People gather, sing songs to God, receive the message and leave. As I mentioned several times, this is not the fellowship of God. What is fellowship of God? People speak, share their pain, share their joy. They understand about one another. They are transparent, express their heart with a largeness of heart, what God gave to Solomon, and the openness of mind, what God gave to David. So the enemy cannot find a gap to destroy them. Garden of Gethsemane is the place of fellowship. And that is the true goal of the Bride of Christ. That is the only goal of the family of God. So we should not be distracted, deceived, taken away as a captive by the very same system the Lord blessed us to be saved. Amen? Because anything that we idolize will become a system over time. By God's grace, we are here to commune with God's presence, commune with God's word, and drink into His spirit to ask the Lord, Lord, what are you going to do in my life today? As a clay, I am before thee with the water of humbleness by your love. Now the Lord can mold you. Amen. If I am not flexible for the Lord to mold, I am nothing but a brick. A potter would never use a brick. He needs a clay. Now, discernment in God's righteousness keeps us as the clay. When I lose discernment, I become stiff, rough, hardened like Pharaoh. Once I become a brick, the potter will take it, will throw it away. That brick is no different than the branch that does not bear any fruit from the tree. The Lord will cut it off. Now, last two Sundays, we took an unconventional start about the life of Daniel, where we went straight to Daniel 9, Daniel 10. Because, as I mentioned, in the whole scripture, there are two vessels of God. They are identified with wisdom, understanding. Solomon and Daniel. But Daniel was not a king, although he is like a prince to God's sight, because he is from the line of Judah. Now, Solomon began the ruling of a wise king, which was taken by another wise king, because don't forget, King Nebuchadnezzar was also a man of wisdom, but the wisdom of the world. And in that captivity, Daniel is growing, a 17-year-old boy, who will have to complete 3 years of the king's command to be nourished, to understand the language of Chaldeans. Because now Daniel is not in Jerusalem, he is in Chaldeans, far away from Jerusalem in Babylon, which is exactly from where Abraham began the journey, approximately. So the Lord basically gave them a U-turn. From where you came, go back to the same place. Now, this is where Daniel is. As I mentioned, throughout the entire series, I will not preach on 70th week of Daniel. I will not preach on the image, the kingdoms. I will not preach on the hand on the wall or the four beasts. That is not the focus. We are going to meticulously look deeply who is this man Daniel and why the Lord used him, how the Lord used him, what kind of environment that he was thrown into, and how he managed to escape, how he managed to survive. From there, we can understand how God glorified his name in Daniel. Because Daniel demonstrated the discernment of God's truth, God's purpose, God's will in God's righteousness. So now, last two Sundays, we focused on how Daniel prayed. He never used the word they, he used the word we. In that single word, Daniel showed all of us he's a man of fellowship. Amen? He ran to the house, fellowship with Shadrach, Meshach, and this fellowship with these three friends, Abednego, Mishael, and Hananiah, which is the name change, you remember? Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. These four are called as children of Judah. And these children were carefully shortlisted by the prince of the eunuch, which is a servant to King Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar was all about strengthening the intellect, the wisdom of his council, so that he can remain as the most powerful king the world has ever seen. And he knows the strength mind. So he was stealing the mind from even the people of Judah. Now Daniel is the asset of Nebuchadnezzar, because Nebuchadnezzar is taking care of the people who are wise. Now this is where we have completed two Sunday services, just to see how Daniel prayed, how Daniel fellowshipped, why the names were changed. So I mentioned very clearly the names were changed to glorify the gods of Babylon and to profane the God of Israel. Their names changed. Shadrach, Belteshazzar, Meshach, Abednego. All these four names are not the names of Judah or culture of Jacob. It's not any of it. It is nothing but the Medo-Persian and Babylonian captivity. They had different gods and they simply changed their name without their permission. Now this is the quick recap of Daniel 9 and 10, last two Sundays. But now we have to position Daniel in the time. The 12 chapters, easy to remember, 12 tribes, 12 apostles, 12 disciples, 12 apostolic foundations, 12, good. A perfect government, good. And Daniel comes at 586 kind of BC, a peak time of his, you know, the Lord's ministry in his life, which is exactly at the center of God's time. 7,000 years, 7 days, the Lord rested on 7th day. And we will all enter into the blessed rest. And the Lord used Daniel approximately at 3,500 years after the creation of Adam. So, easy for us, the double-edged sword cut across, and Daniel wrote 12 chapters at the center for all of us to remember who is God and what he is going to do. Because Daniel covers not just the earthly realm, he talks about the blessed rest that completes the grace of what God has allowed. So, I have a responsibility to position Daniel as precise as we can, without controversy, in the span of time, so that we understand what was the adversity Daniel faced and where Daniel is standing. By the grace of God, during the Prison Great series, we have seen how the Lord used Jeremiah with respect to time. Because Jeremiah was one prophet sent to 5 kings. Amen. Quickly, for us to remember, David was one warrior God sent with 5 stones. Similar to that, Jeremiah was one prophet God sent to manage 5 kings. Now, let us turn our Bibles and let me show you the book of Daniel is not in sequence, so that I will confuse you first to stir up your mind. Then we'll make it clear. Amen. Stirring up is a divine confusion to ask ourselves question so that the Lord can come and give you answer. Don't forget, the Lord blessed every one of you at some point of life to ask the question to yourself, what am I doing? What is this? There was stirring up. As the angel of the Lord stirred up the pool of Bethsaida, and all those who are sick waiting around the perimeter, the corner, when they saw the stirred-up pool, they jumped in to be healed. It happened to us. We were all sick in our flesh, in our life. And the Lord stirred up your heart, the pool where God dwells, where the Spirit of God pours upon. And the Lord stirred up your heart, you were pricked into repentance. Then you fell into the water. You were dead to your sin. You came alive, healed, spiritually. Stirring up is important, as the book of Jude reminds us. Renewal of mind by the purification of your thoughts and stirring up your heart. So that whatever is settled at the bottom of your lake, the Lord will use this plumb line, will stir it up. So that all the dirt will come up, then He will filter it. We become clean. Daniel chapter 1. Let us divide the entire book based on time. So that you see how wise this man of God. What a wise servant of God. He wrote his book. He shuffled his book. Who will do that? He wrote his entire book. He shuffled the book like a puzzle. So that only those who are hungry and thirsty will find it. Because the book of Daniel is a puzzle. It's a mystery. A man of God wrote 12 books. The entire world is still fighting. You see? Do you know many ministries, they won't agree in the book of Daniel. They have so much doctrines to fight against. How come 12 chapters can create many ministries? Can. When we lose the wisdom of God. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. Let me go through a sequence so that we divide the entire book. Chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Verse 1 talks about a king of Judah. And this king of Judah, I extensively covered in the series of Prison Gate. But it says, Nebuchadnezzar came during the ruling of this particular king and he besieged Jerusalem. I mentioned, always remember Nebuchadnezzar as tsunami. He did not complete the captivity in one attempt. He did it in three attempts. 605 BC, tsunami first wave comes. Take away Daniel. Second attempt. 8 years later, 597 BC, he comes. Take away Ezekiel. 8 years later, final wave. 586 BC. 2 years siege, which is 588. He comes, take away everyone. Wipe off the entire land of Judah and made all of them to be slaves. Those who resisted, he killed all of them. Three waves of Nebuchadnezzar. 605, 597, 586. Daniel was taken in the first wave. Why? Because God needs to prepare his child. He needs to have 3 years buffer to prepare himself to be the wisest man in Babylon to help King Nebuchadnezzar before Nebuchadnezzar sent the second wave and the third wave. Daniel was already exalted to be next to Nebuchadnezzar, same as Joseph next to Pharaoh in Egypt. Now, Jehoiakim is king of Judah, and that is when Nebuchadnezzar attacked. That is verse 1. Now, verse 21. We are using different verses to break the sequence of time. Verse 21. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. All of a sudden, verse chapter 1, verse 21 says, suddenly King Cyrus is introduced. But Nebuchadnezzar has not even began his dreams and other important message. It says, Daniel continued even unto King Cyrus, which means Daniel was taken from kingdom of Judah, moved to kingdom of Babylon. My brethren, remember this. Throughout the 70 years captivity, Daniel was alive in Babylon. That was the message. Because the Lord said, you will not return, not until 70 years of captivity is completed. Daniel was alive throughout 70 years of Babylonian exile. Complete, because until the Persian king took over, Daniel was still alive. King Cyrus witnessed Daniel that says first year. Am I right? Now let's continue. Chapter 6 verse 25. Chapter 6 verse 25. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations and languages that dwell in all earth, peace be multiplied unto you. Now the other king is introduced as Darius in chapter 6. And he is going to exalt Daniel because what the Lord did through Daniel. Because Daniel was interpreting, showing his wisdom because of God's spirit was resting upon him. Now the word Darius is different, Cyrus different, Nebuchadnezzar different. We know that. But verse 26 says, I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. God of Daniel is the living God. This another king praise and exalt the God of Daniel. And steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which all shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He delivereth and rescueth, he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth, who hath delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Someone is testifying on behalf of Daniel, and he's a king. And that too, a king from the kingdom of captivity, who is ruling children of God. Last verse, 28. So this Daniel, not some Daniel, this Daniel who glorified God, that particular Daniel, prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Darius the Mede, or we call it as Medo-Persian, and Cyrus the Great. Now, Daniel prospered in Nebuchadnezzar's time, prospered in Darius' time, prospered in Cyrus' time. How, man? How did he do it? Because they were not sent to kill and persecute God's children. How come Daniel was so wise as a serpent, just cut through the entire 70 years of exile, and he stayed alive? Chapter 10, verse 1 to 2. Chapter 10, verse 1 to 2. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. Consider the vision, for it is for many days. And he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. That is God who is working in Daniel for his pleasure. Last Sunday I mentioned Philippians 2:13 and Philippians 4:13. Both the verses are nothing but preaching Godhead. The Bible says it is God who is working in you for his own will and pleasure. Amen. The next verse says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Both the verses are same. That is Godhead. For God gave his only son for the salvation of you and me, and he is your only strength who is working deep inside you. That is the power of resurrection, where the Holy Ghost was sent to every single temple of the Holy Ghost, every single tabernacle of the Lord. The Lord made us to be able to have a personal communion, personal relationship with him because of Christ. Christ means anointed. It is different than what you see in the time of Moses and David and all those servants of God. They were anointed by the horn of oil, by Prophet Samuel, the vessels of God. But in the New Testament, our Lord, who is called the Anointed, he died, resurrected, he poured out all the Spirit upon all the flesh of his. And we receive the Comforter, the power of resurrection. Now, here Daniel is witnessing different things changing, but his eyes are set on author of salvation, the only king, the true king. For him, they are all passing clouds, like your life. You have sad moments, angry moments, happy moments every week. Just tell yourself, passing clouds. Go, I will just stand here. I will see the sun shining bright on my face. Until then, I won't move. Why? The passing cloud is temporary. But the one that is sending the light, it is permanent. The Son of God. Now, Daniel was witnessing the passing clouds, passing kingdoms. But he was steadfast on the heavenly eternal kingdom. Now, what here he says in chapter 10, verse 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. That is 21 days. Am I right? If you look at the book of Daniel, he tells, I, Daniel. I. It's like a self-biography of what the Lord did to him. So he had the freedom to shuffle the book here and there to paint a picture. Because God has revealed the revelation, Daniel will not make it simple for the world. He will encrypt it. So only those who come to the safe with the lock of Holy Ghost, they will unlock it. If not, it won't open. Now, Darius' name introduced, Cyrus' name introduced, Nebuchadnezzar introduced. What is missing? Belshazzar. So let's go and catch him. Chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 8. King Nebuchadnezzar is exalting Daniel. Only then I can introduce you to Belshazzar. So Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 8, but at last the Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. What? King Nebuchadnezzar says, I worship my God, but I still respect God of Daniel. That was a difference between those kingdoms of Gentiles. They accepted God of Abraham, God of Jacob, God of Isaac as one of their other 1,000 gods. In their stupidity, children of God escaped. As long as they survive, God's plan is good. So Nebuchadnezzar, Nabonidus, Belshazzar, Cyrus, all the kings of Gentiles, Persians, Babylonians, they respected God of Israel when the Lord wanted them to respect him. When the Lord took his hands off, they went back to their own captivity of different gods. Now, Nebuchadnezzar says, this man, Belteshazzar, he was named after my God, which is Bel. Am I right? Bel is a Babylonian God. Now he continues by saying, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods? He is trying to be smart, telling that Daniel has the spirit of different holy gods in him. He's making plural. Do you see? But this false understanding, it is none of our business. As long as Daniel is alive, good. Nebuchadnezzar says, there are some holy gods inside Daniel. Because in those days, they worshipped people, believing that they were all the incarnation of their own gods. And he says, and before him I told the dream, saying, oh, Belteshazzar, verse 9, master of the magicians, that is how Daniel was called. The master of magician. According to them, he was nothing but a magician. He do things people can understand. He says, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. He says that he knows, he presumes. He is trying to be a king, thinking that what he believes is correct. But there is no holy gods in Daniel. There is only one holy one. The anointing is resting upon Daniel. He says, and before him I told the dream, saying, now, he says, there is no secret troubleth thee, verse 9, tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. This is how Nebuchadnezzar respected Daniel. Now, this respect, my brethren, will continue for the next generation. Why? Whoever comes as a king, they will look back. If King Nebuchadnezzar feared and honored Daniel, the mighty king of Babylon, those who come later, they will also hold on to the same fear and respect. Because time is short, right? Don't forget, the Pharaoh of Egypt, in the time of Joseph, was not an evil king to people of Israel, because he gave them the land of Goshen, because of Joseph. But 430 years later, another Pharaoh came, and the Bible gave him a name. The Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. And because of that, he was an evil king. In the name of killing Moses, he killed a lot of young children. What an evil person he was. Same as the time of Christ, Herod was killing children. Moses was a reason for the death of children. Jesus was a reason for death of children. It's a type. The Son of God is a reason for the children of God. We died to flesh by the rock of salvation, because in those times they were throwing the children to the rock. Correct? They threw them, cast them against the rock of refuge. And we died to our flesh, we died to our sin. We born as the children of God, not to die as, to live and die as children of men. So, Moses, Jesus was the result of many deaths. The same, Daniel, if he was not there, Nebuchadnezzar was prepared to kill every single wise man who were alive in the land of Babylon at that point of time. He made a decree, kill all the wise people. But Daniel literally saved all of them by being a single vessel of God. Because of that, his respect, his admiration, reputation was being passed to different people, so that the Lord can keep him for 70 years. Now, this honor of Nebuchadnezzar to Daniel, let's continue with Belshazzar, chapter 5. Chapter 5, I will show you how Daniel tried to teach us that only those who are hungry and thirsty will receive God's word. Chapter 5 verse 1 says, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Verse 1 introduces Belshazzar. It says he was a king, but actually he is not the king. He was sharing the dynasty with his very own father, Nabonidus. He was a crown prince, which means he was a prince, but crowned to rule a particular segment of the Babylonian kingdom, because his father was alive. But he was keep on traveling to take kingdoms. So in his absence, the son was like an interim king, like a crown prince. So Belshazzar has a different name, which I will come. This name, introduced in chapter 5 verse 1, right? Look at the last verse of the previous chapter and see how tricky Daniel is. Chapter 4 verse 37. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven and all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. That is the last verse of previous chapter. The next chapter jumps straight to Belshazzar. In between, there is a big gap. And the next verse sounds as if a celebration continues in the next chapter, but it is not. Now, chapter 5, verse 17. Now, Daniel is interpreting to Belshazzar, same as what he did to Nebuchadnezzar. And Belshazzar, listening to what Daniel is speaking, Daniel speaks verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts to be thyself and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king and made known to him the interpretation. Verse 17, we stop here. Please keep the timeline ready. What an attitude. How come he had such audacity to tell the king, you keep your gifts with thee? Daniel, he could kill you. He could kill him on the spot. But Daniel knows where the Lord put him. And he knows there was none like him. And he knows the king will beg him for interpretation. The same as Joseph, who was holding the hood for the famine. Joseph knows that is his power. As long as he holds on to his wisdom, all the kingdom will come and beg Egypt, give us food. And the king knows, this man I need for me to continue as a mighty king. Of course, it was a self-centered, selfish reason. Joseph was exalted, but who cares? The Lord said, be wise as serpent. Jacob cheated his very own brother. to take the birthright. Can you go and tell him, unrighteous Jacob? But God said, I'm God of Jacob. God, why are you keeping these people alive? He's a liar. This is his very own brother. Then what about Rebecca? His mother deceived her own son. But the same mother, she was praying for the children and her womb was dry. When the Lord gave her the two sons, Jacob and Esau, the battle was in the womb. Even before they were born, she knows that God's promise must continue. Now, here, what is happening here is, same as how in the times of Joshua and Moses, how the Lord used spies within his very own congregation and sent them to Jericho to spy. Can they go to the gate of Jericho and tell them, we are from the team of Moses, we are righteous people, we just want to come and monitor you? They'll kill them on the spot. But they went in sneaking like a snake, like a spy. Why, you know? Because God is righteous. He has no obligation to be righteous, to be truthful to the wickedness and unrighteousness of the world. Because they are no one to him to prove that he is all about truth. He will do whatever it pleases. If not, Calvary is impossible. Am I right? Calvary is impossible. If Jesus spoke, he maintained silence. He did not answer to the question that Pilate was asking, answer me. He knows the Lord cannot lie. And the Lord kept silent. Why? I am not answerable to you. That's the only way out. If not, there is no Calvary. Can we say it is unrighteous? Can we say God allowed Job's child to be killed? Is it unrighteous? In flesh, we are a prisoner to presumption. Presumption is nothing but prediction of your flesh that God may do this. Or this is it. Prediction. Presumption. The way we began the service today, Psalm 19. David says, Lord, keep me far away from presumptuous sins. He called it as sins. Because he was a king. There was no one to challenge him. David knows, what if in my power, in my pride, in my authority, in my dominion, what if I start presuming things? The whole kingdom of Israel will pay the price of David's presumption. David knows. That is Psalm 19. But Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart, O Lord. 53, 51, those three chapters, you see the broken state of David. Because of what happened to him, Uriah and Bathsheba. Presumptuous sins. How Daniel escaped every single presumptuous Babylonian king. How he escaped. The Bible says that Daniel was able to bring Gabriel by his prayers. And Gabriel says, I came for thy words. And Gabriel says, God asked me to go from the first day you set your heart before God. First day, not second day. The very same day. And he says, even before he began the prayers, the Lord asked me to travel to you. To make a journey to meet you. Gabriel. You know who is Gabriel? One of the chief princes, two, Michael and Gabriel. So God sent Gabriel to speak to Daniel. And Gabriel says, you know, my friend, Michael, he's fighting for all of us. I have to go and join him in the battle. I just took an excuse to come and talk to you. I'm going back. Because there is none holdeth, no, these things with me concerning these things of God. There is none other than Michael. Now Daniel is listening to all of this. Why am I here? Gabriel, Michael, why am I here? How important was Daniel to God? 70 years of God's promise kept alive. 70 years in captivity. in the midst of kings who were killing each other, in the midst of kings who kill people for fun. If they are angry, they'll kill people. For them, death is a game. Daniel was rebuking them. Not even he was fearfully obeying them. He's telling this king, keep your gift with thee. The same dialogue who said, Apostle Peter says, hey Simon, sorcerer, thy money perish with thee. Actually, that Simon was a powerful man compared to the Apostle Peter on earth because of his money. But Apostle Peter, apostles of the Lord, they don't care. Your money perish with thee. Do whatever you want. And Daniel says, keep your gift with thee. I will still interpret. And the king is listening. And he knows what Nebuchadnezzar said about him. He knows the testimony of Daniel in the time of Nebuchadnezzar. So the Belshazzar has no other choice other than to keep his mouth shut. Shut by Nebuchadnezzar. But he's not the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But yet, he was called the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Let's keep things simple. Because kings of Babylon, they were all not actually the sons of the kings exactly. Some are grandchildren, some are uncles, some are wise people here and there. But we don't care. Whoever sits on the throne of the king of Babylon, the seed after seed after seed, like a forefather. For instance, David's forefather is still Moses. But Moses is from tribe of Levi. David is from tribe of Judah. Just because of that, you cannot say, David, Moses is not your forefather. You cannot say that. Because all of them, Jacob is their father. Either way, they are all connected to Abraham. They are all forefathers. In the same way, we keep things simple. Every king of Babylon, the next one, we can call them as seed or son. It's okay. Gospel of Luke reminds us, Elizabeth was called, what? Daughter of Aaron. Aaron lived and died long time ago. If the Bible have to be accurate for the worldly theologians, they have to write great, great, great granddaughter maybe 100 times and the chapter is gone. We focus on the seed of God that is continues. The same way, seed of Babel, seed of Babylon continues. Now Daniel says, in that understanding, O thou king, verse 18, the most God gave Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, a kingdom, and majesty, and glory, and honor. And Daniel says, your father, representing the previous king. It's like mother harlot gives birth to daughter harlots. It's a spiritual type. But here, Nebuchadnezzar was a man who found mercy in God's sight, although he fell miserably, roaming like a beast. But yet he found mercy before his death. But those who came later on, they did not find the same mercy that Nebuchadnezzar enjoyed. So Daniel says, with authority, in verse 29, I just go to 29. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, and put a chain of gold around about his neck, and made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Why third? I told you, Nebuchadnezzar number one, Belshazzar number two, next to them, Daniel. Because Belshazzar was not the only king, he was a crown prince. How come Daniel rebuked Belshazzar and Belshazzar exalted Daniel? Because Daniel spoke the truth and Belshazzar was trembling. The Bible says his knees were smoting each other, like going like a beast, like his father, the previous king. And the next verse, verse 30 says, in that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. You see, he is called as king of Chaldeans. Not exactly as Babylon, although they were all next to each other. Because it was a dynasty, a huge kingdom. Look at the last verse. Verse 31. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 80 years old. That is 62 years old. A 60-year-old king, Darius the Mede, took over Babylon. Now, let us all focus have introduced different names from different chapters so that we stir up our hearts and mind. Who are these people? What time it is? Where Daniel stands. Amen? Let's start from the number one. I hope you all can see. Those who can't read, we will send this document so that you can keep it. Nebuchadnezzar 1 is not the Nebuchadnezzar that we are reading now. Because there were two Nebuchadnezzar, exactly similar to the two Pharaohs. Because the good Pharaoh in the time of Joseph and the bad Pharaoh in the time of Moses, they were approximately 400 years apart. Am I right? Because Joseph died, he was 110 years old, he tells the people, the Lord will visit you surely. And that 70 became multitude 438 years later, and the Lord sent Moses. But that time, that Pharaoh was an evil man. These two Pharaohs were separated by maybe four generations. Now this Nebuchadnezzar, he was also a mighty king. He ruled from 1121 to 1100 BC, which is approximately 20 years. No, he was a mighty king. After him, Nebuchadnezzar, he was the main king who triggered the revolt against kingdom of Judah and all the kingdoms around, Egypt and everyone. But he could not complete his work. Same as David, who began all the work of temple, but he could not complete. Who finished it? Solomon. But Solomon was a son of David. But this Nebuchadnezzar, what he started, the one who finished it, is the mighty king, the Gentile king, the whole Bible teach all of us about, the one who began the Gentile age. Jesus Christ speaks about him in the Gospel of Luke, the time of Gentiles, because of him. That's why God called Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, my servant. Who? Not the first one. The one who fulfilled God's purpose. This Nebuchadnezzar, he ruled from 605 to 562 BC, which is approximately, let's say 40 years, approximately. These numbers don't have to be accurate. We look at the season that Daniel was thrown into. And after him, his son was not Belshazzar. But yet, Daniel called Belshazzar, thou son of Nebuchadnezzar. That represents the previous king and the new king. Because kingdom was also compared as fatherhood and childhood. King after king. This Amel Marduk, he has another name, Evil Marduk. He was the son of Nebuchadnezzar. It is believed to be so. Or could be a grandson. There are so many hypocrisies or controversies. But we focus on the life of Daniel. This evil king did not get to live long. He died within 2 years of ruling. Because he was an evil king. Evil Marduk. Easy to remember. After him, we have Nergal-Sharezer. This king, he ruled for about 4 years. And he is also an important king. You look at the timeline. Daniel is growing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Daniel, the little boy, he's growing. And when he was growing, these kings are coming, going, living and dying. And Daniel is growing. Because it was King Nebuchadnezzar who took Daniel in 605 BC. The first tsunami wave. Remember easily. First wave, Daniel is taken. Since then, Daniel is growing. Now this king, Nergal-Sharezer, and the short-lived king was the one that is not mentioned in the Bible explicitly. But his name is Labashi Marduk. Very similar to the evil Marduk. He lived for a short period of time. And he was killed. He died. Now where is Belshazzar? Now Nabonidus is the actual king of Babylon. But he is not, you know, getting too much attention here. Because he was always on the move. He had so much assignments to go and take kingdoms. Busy in offering sacrifices and this and that. This Nabonidus, the king of Babylon, he was ruling quite a significant time. From 556 BC to 539 BC. Approximately 17 years. Approximately. Daniel is still alive. The next one is what we are reading in Daniel 5, Belshazzar, who is called as a king, that is true, according to the region that he was managing. He was called the king of Chaldeans, but in Babylonian, you know, dynasty, he is not called as a king. He's a prince. Because, my brethren, we are all the kings, but he is the king. And the Lord called all of us my princes, which is, the Lord is the king, only king. Everyone else is a prince to him. Now, this is where the other two names I introduced. In Daniel 6, that is Darius the Mede, who took over the kingdom, and Belshazzar was killed. And Cyrus the Great, who pulled down the entire dynasty of Babylon, the great king Cyrus, a Persian king, the Lord also used him. He ruled so in a majestic manner to be able to bring down the unthinkable kingdom of Babylon. He brought them down. And that King Cyrus, he ruled approximately more than 30 to 40 years. I'll show you the timeline when you go there. But I want you all to remember this. This little man, Daniel, he covers this entire journey of king after king after king. And he was standing there unwavering as the Son of God throughout the time. 70 years Daniel was in captivity. 17 years he was in Judah. Which means Jeremiah, when he was a prophet of God, Daniel was a boy playing here and there. Why? Because Jeremiah was serving the Lord for 5 kingdoms of Judah for about 40 years. So Daniel was not born, which shows here Belteshazzar, that is the name of Daniel in Babylon, and he was alive throughout the entire kingdom. And I have carefully chosen these pictures to show you who are these kings. They worship snakes. They worship the combination of man and beast, the idols. You could see here, you could remember why King Nebuchadnezzar was cursed to live like a beast. Because he felt so proud, and the Lord gave him the taste of being like his God. He was like a beast. When understanding came, Nebuchadnezzar stood up and he said, "Lord, my understanding came back to me." He died not as a beast, but as a man. But after him, everyone you see, until King Cyrus, who issued a decree to rebuild the temple. Now, we will repeat this as we go on, so that this goes to your mind. Every time from now on, when you read the word Darius, you know where he is. When you read Belshazzar, you know where he is. But this Belteshazzar, he was growing across these people. He was approximately 88 years old. No? Approximately when he died. Daniel. Now, the book of Daniel, so far we have gone through the prayer of Daniel. Today we will go through the timeline first, so that I bring everything to the main topic of today's sermon. When Nebuchadnezzar came as the first wave from the land of Judah, he took the people of God, but not all of them, because he was capturing in parts. Daniel was taken. Amen? First wave. Now this journey, you remember the two rivers I always tell you about, Euphrates and Tigris. Two sides. Today you can remember where is Iran, where is Jordan, where is Israel. You can see what is happening there now. Now this sculpture of Nebuchadnezzar, how he was portrayed, they have different crowns. But the most prominent crown they use is always like a sharp, like a cone, which represents wisdom, intellect, mind that can rule the world. That is how they were worshipping their gods, Babylonian gods. Now you can see the same shape of crown in some big corporate denomination. They also follow the same thing. They are no different. Now, the size of Babylonian kingdom was not limited to Judah and Babylon. They were huge. The whole world feared Nebuchadnezzar. He was so mighty. That's why the Lord made him as a beast to put him into shame. Now, the entire capture of Babylonian kingdom, you could see Egypt could not escape. Those Pharaoh ring, times of Moses, they became slaves to Nebuchadnezzar, including people of Israel. He was the king of all. Now, this Babylonian kingdom, if I just zoom in, this particular portion where you see Tigris and Euphrates, Mesopotamia and Elam and Assyria, these three names, remember, because how come this mighty Babylon fell? Because Persians took over in 539 BC and Daniel is witnessing everything like a boss. Same as Jeremiah. He told them, nobody listened to him. And when people of Israel taken as captive to Babylon, Jeremiah was alive. He witnessed all of it, but he believed to be sent to Egypt or somewhere, but not to Babylon. Nobody knows where Jeremiah died. But one thing was clear, he was not in Babylon. Why? God had prepared two, Daniel and Ezekiel. Jeremiah is not required. Because God is the most powerful king who knows how to sow his seed. Jeremiah was sown in Judah. But Daniel, Ezekiel were sown in Babylonian. Zerubbabel was born in Babylon. Now, this is very important so that we go into the life of Daniel. Now, remember this capture of Babylonian by Persian. And let's forget about Daniel the Med. It's a huge controversial topic which we will study in the prayer gatherings. But Sunday service is for the Lord to prune us, perfect us. The life of Daniel, we are studying with Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar as of now. But Cyrus, he toppled the kings of Babylon. Remember, okay, in 539 BC. Now, where was Daniel? When Josiah, the good king, when he was ruling the kingdom of Judah, the Bible says, approximately, he ruled for 31 years. Now, Jeremiah was not called from day one. As I mentioned, Prophet Jeremiah was called somewhere around the 13th year of Josiah as a king. The first 12 years, Josiah was, you know, doing whatever he's doing, but Jeremiah was not revealed as a prophet of God. He was hidden. Like David was hidden. Samuel was hidden. God hide his people. Like Daniel was hidden. Now this Jeremiah, when he began the prophetical ministry, Josiah was already a king ruling. Now, 605 BC, the invasion comes. Josiah was not alive because he died. The sons of Josiah, one by one, took over the kingdom. Five kings, let's don't forget, starts with Josiah, the good one, ends with Zedekiah, whose name means God righteousness, but he was not righteous. His eyes were taken and God took him to Babylon, but he was not killed. Amen. Now this first wave, Daniel was taken during the Jehoiakim phase. The second wave, Ezekiel was taken when Jehoiachin was ruling, only for 3 months time approximately. The third wave, along with Zedekiah, everyone else who were left were taken. The last siege. For 2 years, they had to compass around the city of Jerusalem to take them as captives. This is the Nebuchadnezzar whom we are studying. Which means, the very first year when he took over, he already attacked Judah. Am I right? The first time he took over the same year, he went all in against Judah and he took Daniel. So in the first year, Nebuchadnezzar got Daniel. You should read in that way. The very first year, God gave Daniel to Nebuchadnezzar. Because the kings of Judah did not receive Jeremiah. Why God should give him to kings of Judah? He took Daniel, uprooted his wisdom, he gave it to Nebuchadnezzar. What Isaiah said, I was received by them for whom I was not sent. Remember the scripture I read last Sunday? That's why. If Daniel was supposed to be serving Judah,
if there was a king who would receive Daniel, they would not be in the hands of Babylon. But because they rejected Jeremiah, they were about to kill Jeremiah. God knows they would kill Daniel. He took him, gave him safely to Nebuchadnezzar. Moses was kept alive by Pharaoh and his daughter. His people would have stoned him to death. He himself said that. Jesus was trying to be saved by Pontius Pilate. But his people, they were willing to kill him, crucify him. But Pontius Pilate was trying to save him. Jeremiah was thrown into prison to sink and die. But Ebed-Melech came for rescue, who is not from tribe of Judah. And the Lord is teaching us all a lesson. I am the king. Whether it is Chaldean, whether it is Egypt, whether it is Jerusalem, I am the king of kings. When he was crucified, they wrote a mockery statement. King of Jews. Was it mockery? Hey, you are mocking, thinking you are mocking, but you are speaking the truth. Even in their mockery, they could not lie because he is the truth. Now, in this time, look at Jeremiah. He was alive from 627 to 586 BC. Am I right? My precious dear brethren, Jeremiah was enjoying the rise of Daniel. Because 580 BC, Daniel is already how many years old? 17, around 30, 40 years old. Jeremiah is not a simple man who do not know anything. He was a prophet of God for 40 years. Wherever he was, the Lord was speaking to his children, wherever they were. They were all interceding. They were all praying. You see how it overlaps. Daniel was alive from 622 to 534 BC. So, when he was taken by 605, he was approximately 17 years old. Remember, before Christ, time goes backward. It's descending. In the scripture, you must be 20 years plus to be able to be a warrior. Do you remember the book of Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges? At least 20 plus, like Isaac. He was not a 9-year-old boy. If Abraham is going to sacrifice him, he must be a young, grown-up teenager who knows and who can decide for himself. Like a bride. Now, this Daniel was growing, and Ezekiel, who was also in parallel, his active ministry was approximately from 595 to 574 BC, 20 years around there. But although Ezekiel is not the focus, ask yourself why God was using Ezekiel and Daniel at the same time. Why? They were not in the same place. Do you know that? They were not in the same place. God is sovereign. Never ever forget that. God is sovereign in Jeremiah. God is sovereign in Daniel. God is sovereign in Ezekiel. God was sovereign in Abraham. And God was sovereign in Lot. When the angels were sent to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham knew his place. He stood there and watched. He did not step over. He knows God of Lot is God of me. If I love my cousin Lot, my God loves him more than me. He respected God's sovereignty. He did not go with the angels. Because the Bible says Abraham looked up, he saw Sodom and Gomorrah smoke coming from there. He did not intervene in the work of the Lord, even in his very own children. My brethren, Abraham was 175 years old when he died. His son Isaac, approximately 147 years old, I believe. Then Jacob. When all of these were there, Abraham was alive to some extent. Did you see any intervention of these servants of God in someone's life? When Jacob was betrayed by his very own expectation, he thought Rachel will be given to him. But he got Leah. He was very angry. Where was his father? He did not intervene. Where was his father? 14 years, Jacob was taken as a slave. Where was his father? You won't find. God is sovereign. When Isaac was striving, suffering, where was Abraham? You won't find. He sent Eliezer to find the bride. That's it. After that, you would not see Abraham. Why? They knew the line that they should not cross. God's work had unique, beautiful purpose to be fulfilled in these three vessels, although they were all alive at the same time. But God dealt with them uniquely. Stop there. Now come back to the scripture. Now, let's read 29 and 31 we have read. Now let's turn our Bibles to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1. Now we understand who is Jehoiakim, the third king, when Daniel was taken. So Daniel was reporting to King Jehoiakim. It is believed that Daniel was a prince, like a royalty. He was taken as a captive. He was 17 years old, approximately, right? Now, first chapter introduction is very clear. Now, look at verse 2. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, to the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God gave him. Nebuchadnezzar did not take him. You are a mighty king. Who told you that? Yet the Lord need to give upon his children, which is the Lord has to forsake for a moment for the children of God to be taken as captive. But the children of God did something to make the Lord to turn his face away. Because God is holy, in him there is no darkness. The Bible says the Lord gave the Judah, king of Judah, to Nebuchadnezzar because they were disobedient and failed miserably. They were trying to kill Jeremiah. Now, the next part says, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So they were in the treasure house of his God. That is Nabu. Nebuchadnezzar, the God whom he was worshipping is Nabu, who is higher than other gods, like Marduk, Bel. Now, verse 3 says, and the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, and that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed and of the princess. This is the proof that Daniel must have been a royalty, the king of to the tribe of Judah. They shortlisted the royal seeds, believing that they were trained in knowledge and wisdom, and to make them a slave. But the king gave the command to Ashpenaz. He is the one who is called the prince of the eunuchs. And he could be the one who named Daniel from Daniel to Belteshazzar. King Nebuchadnezzar did not give the name to Daniel. It was named by his prince of eunuch who is called Ashpenaz. The meaning of his name means, it has different meanings. It means sorrowful countenance. He is always sad. Something like it. Sorrowful countenance. That's its meaning. And second, like a father, he helped people. A helping man. These two names, meanings were given to his name according to their culture. Now, Daniel found favor in his sight. The same as Joseph who found favor in the sight of Potiphar. Then he found favor in the sight of King Pharaoh. Joseph was finding favor because God's anointing was upon Joseph. The world will still bow to him one way or other. The Lord will confirm them. Now, verse 4 says, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge because they worship snakes, and understanding signs, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. It is very clear, they did not know the language of Chaldeans. They were trained for 3 years. So Nebuchadnezzar sent them for a 3 years tuition, so that they can come and join the job of being a wise counsel of the biggest corporate company in the world at that point of time, Babylon. Now, what is Babylon? Genesis 11, chapter 9. Let's find who gave the name Babylon. Genesis 11, chapter 11, verse 9. Let's read from verse 8, so that you understand what Babel represents. Verse 8, the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Who scattered them? The Lord. What they were doing, they were trying to build a tower in their oneness, in their unity. God looked down and he saw they can do whatever they imagine because they speak same language. They are united. They think as one. They speak as one. They do as one. Not good, man. Not good. God is righteous. Then why he confounded them if God is righteous? It's not a fair deal. If God is righteous, he confounded them by introducing different languages and scattered them. Now, answer me. Is God, being the righteous God who he is, does he need to answer the unrighteous, wicked, evil people? Who is the creator? Imagine you see a snake in your room. Would you go and look for a very hygienic, you know, silver vessel or some gold plate to go and kill the snake? Whatever you find, take and hit it, right? Now, God is holy. In him there is no darkness. He recompensed the evil back to their hands. How you do that? He take his hands off. If the sun that gives us the daylight, if it is very angry with us, imagine it's a person. He says, okay, I'm just turning this side. No matter whatever you scream, you will be in dark. Am I right? When God chose to turn his face away from us, he don't have to destroy you. He don't have to confuse you. He don't have to make some plans to, you know, do something to you. We are dead without him. We will be confused without him. We will be distracted without him. Because in him there is understanding. In him there is stability. In him there is wisdom. Without him, when we lose his face, the beauty of his face, when the light of my Savior does not shine upon me, no matter how strong you are, how beautiful you are, how wealthy you are, how healthy you are, whatever you are, in the same strength you will fall. And the Lord confounded them, eight languages. But he united them later, when the Holy Ghost fell upon apostles, they spoke different languages, but with understanding. They knew exactly what they were speaking because God's children would not say anything without understanding. But those who are witnessing it, for them, drunkard people, drunken apostles, they were drunk of some new wine. They were blabbering because they could not understand what they were telling. That is the mockery of what happened to Genesis 11. It's called, verse 9 says, and because of that, therefore is the name of it called Babel. 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 Abel, we know, son of God. Babel, we know, people who were sent, no? The Lord scattered them across the earth. Go and do whatever you want. In different places, but don't do it in the same place. Because they'll be more powerful. The Lord scattered their power. Abel, Babel, and Babe. That is what the Lord said. The revelation of God is revealed to children, which is Babe, as the Son of God spoke by his very own words. The mystery of God is revealed to Babe, not to the wise and prudent. Whereas the Babylonian that we see here in Daniel, that Babel become a kingdom. Am I right? Kingdom. Like how Jacob became Israel. Now, let's go back to Daniel. So you understand from where Babel began and how the Lord scattered them, because it is happening to people of Israel now. Because they are also scattered from their very own land, and they were scattered all across the earth. Remember what happened to them in 1900s, 1948? Scattering is the Lord's way of dealing with you, throwing you out of the safe haven that you are part of. And here, Daniel 1, we continue from what happened to him, is verse 8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So he was bargaining. Because Nebuchadnezzar gave them an instruction, I want you to train these people, 4 children, Daniel and his 3 friends, for 3 years. Give them food, treat them royal, make them understand Chaldeans so that Daniel can read all their history, all their mysterious books and can decode it to Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar was believing in fortune telling. So they were in need of magicians to keep their power. Now, Daniel tells the prince of eunuch, you know, I understand refinement, but don't give me the king's portion because I can't defile myself. Lest the king thinks my wisdom came because of his food. For saying this, Daniel could get killed. Next verse. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Who brought the tender love? God. Who gave favor? God. What Daniel did? Nothing. Speak for his faith. When you stand for your faith, when you speak of the Lord, when you hold on to his truth, my brethren, the whole world will be subject to God's favor in your life, if it is his will. And Daniel knew this is the right thing to do so, and God gave them favor. Now, verse 10 says, and the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, that is Nebuchadnezzar, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Similar to Potiphar and Joseph. Pharaoh had a dream. Potiphar needed help from Joseph. Now, the prince of eunuch, if he choose to help Daniel, he risk his very own life of disobeying Nebuchadnezzar. The handmaids of the time of Pharaoh, they were putting their lives on the line to preserve the children of God. Who gave them the wisdom? Who taught them? Who gave them that wisdom to do their best to preserve God's children? When Pharaoh was killing children, when Moses was born. Now this prince of eunuch, he is going to help Daniel, but without knowing anything. Because he did not know who is Daniel or how he is going to become. He don't know the God of Daniel. He don't know anything. But somehow, something sparked in his mind not to presume what Daniel said, by thinking it is not possible, but rather he wanted it to be proved. He allowed. Who gave him the wisdom? Look at the verse. Verse 8, we read. Verse 12 says, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. 10 represents fullness, completion, wholeness. 10 virgins. 10 plagues, 10 commandments, 10. And in that 10 days, let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Something, give us something very simple, but don't give us the king's portion. Because Daniel had the revelation deep inside of him, if he eat anything that defiled his body, because all of these things, they were consecrated, sanctified, offered for the gods of King Nebuchadnezzar. It was a trap for Daniel to jump into that, you know, dangerous trap, spiritually speaking. Verse 13 says, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. Daniel gave a challenge. Kill me. Whatever you want, I face it, but give me 10 days. This Daniel would do a great lawyer in the high court today. He got 10 days time from the prince of the eunuch. He also got the time that he needs from King Nebuchadnezzar. He's a good bargainer, a wise man. And this prince of eunuch, he did not presume what Daniel said. He gave him time. Because God's favor was upon Daniel. So when this happened, verse 14 says, he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. It types all the way to what the Lord gave them, manna in the wilderness. Children of God absolutely lack nothing because God is their provider. So whatever the complaint that they gave it to God, and the Lord was telling them, I told you several times, you lack nothing. If you still lack something, you are not worshipping me. Now, verse 16, that Melzer took away the portion of that meat and the wine that they should drink and gave them pulse. The word Melzer, for you to easily remember this, you can remember the words sheriff, who represents typically police or someone who is in charge of the law, or Rakshaka, representing chief of captain. The word Melzer means it doesn't have to be a name. It can be the title of the man who was in charge of the wine. He is called the master of the wine. It could be representing to the Ashnet himself, the prince of eunuch, or the one who is reporting to the prince of eunuch. Whatever, he was in charge of the food to be delivered to Daniel and his friends. He replaced the food secretly so that Daniel can prove to him that 10 days we can hold on to our countenances. Now, verse 19. Now, after 3 years completed, verse 19 says, and the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. This is their real name, which is mentioned. But if I ask all of you, you always mention the name of Daniel as Daniel, but you never mention other three names as their original name. You mention them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Why? Answer me. Because you can't answer. Just got used to it. It is not their name. You never call him Belteshazzar because difficult to pronounce. Call him easily Daniel. But other three children of Judah, so they are lesser than Daniel. No one is lesser. No one is greater. It just, we got used to the name Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. But actually, their name is not that. Their name is Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So there are two Yah representing Yahweh and one El representing Elohim, the Lord my God. Now, verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them, how many times, my brethren? 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all Israel. Now, who wrote the book? Daniel, not Nebuchadnezzar. So can we say this Daniel, he is just marketing himself, hey, 10 times wiser. Let me ask you a question. On which basis Nebuchadnezzar measured their wisdom to tell that they are 10 times greater than them? How did he weigh them? Actually, Nebuchadnezzar, he uttered similar word later also. He is very good in saying this much times, that much times. Very similar to how God says, I will inquire you 7 times. What do you mean by 7 times? Supposed to be came by 1, but now it's 7. Okay, now you can measure 7 times. And why the Bible says, children of God purified 7 times? How he measured? What is 7 times? Why Jesus said, go to this pool? No, think yourself seven times. Why Elisha said to this man who was facing the leper, Naaman, go and do this much times. What is time? How Nebuchadnezzar compared this with this ranking, 10 times better. Keep this because we will come there. Now, chapter 1 brings this picture and chapter 2, verse, I will just focus on how Daniel escaped the presumption, which is verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12. Now, in between, King Nebuchadnezzar's heart is troubled by a dream. He couldn't sleep. He's restless. And he's asking all the magicians, astrologers, you know what they said? Nebuchadnezzar, leave it to us. You know who we are. Greatest wise counselors of Babylon. We will interpret. They presumed that they could interpret, thinking that one of their Babylonian gods gave him a dream, and we are Babylonian god worshippers, pretty easy word. But they did not know the dream that was given to Nebuchadnezzar is from the only God, the God of Daniel. Verse 12, Nebuchadnezzar is very angry, frustrated, and he says, for this cause the king was angry and was very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. When he say all, Daniel is under the same roof. It's like Herod wants to kill Jesus, but she don't know where is Jesus. He says, throw a nuclear bomb, destroy everyone. One for all, kill everyone. Pharaoh wants to destroy Moses, but she don't know where is Moses. He says, kill all the male children. What a presumptuous act. The audacity of committing sin. Violence. Nebuchadnezzar was now nowhere, away from the same violence. He said, kill all the wise men. If you can't even interpret the dream of the king, you are not worthy to serve me. That's what he says. But why he said that? Not because of Daniel. Because there are some group provoked him to that. Look at the verse 4. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream and we will shew the interpretation. Easy. Just like that. You know who we are? Allied group. Like Pharisees, Sadducees, they are boasting. Maybe they are the Pharisees, Sadducees of that time. We will interpret. We have studied so many books, Nebuchadnezzar. You can be a mighty king, but in our wisdom, learn from us. They said, we will shew thee. So the expectation was, hi, Nebuchadnezzar, oh, my servants. And verse 10. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. How dare you to ignore Daniel? Because they said, not a single man can interpret your dream. By saying so, they wanted to save their lives. We are not lesser than anyone, my lord. You know there is no one like us. If we ourselves cannot interpret, which means there is no man on earth can interpret your dream. So Daniel was up against the most powerful magicians of the entire world. Like in the times of Moses and Aaron, were up against the powerful magicians of Egypt. Jannes, Jambres, their names were mentioned in the book of Timothy, not in the Old Testament. What? There were two magicians who withstood Moses and Aaron, Jannes and Jambres. Easy to remember. But they were not mentioned in the book of Old Testament. Because it's history. And Paul is a man of knowledge and wisdom from God. He brought their name. Thousands of years later, their names were exposed. Imagine, they were alive. Hey. The whole testament escaped. We escaped. And Apostle Paul exposed them towards the book of Revelation. their names could not escape. And now Daniel is up against these magicians, but they were speaking on behalf of Daniel without even consulting Daniel. Because to them, this group of Judah, they were not part of their group. They were Chaldeans speaking in Syriac, but Daniel cannot speak in Syriac. He was learning. Am I right? Now, they say no man on earth can interpret. That is presumption. Amen? Can I give you a very worst example of a mighty servant of God? Elijah. Elijah tells Lord, you know why I'm hiding from Jezebel? Don't tell anyone. Secret. There is no one standing for you, only me. I'm the only one alive who can uphold your righteousness, Lord. He's going to kill me. So I'm preserving my life. I'm very smart. And the Lord looked at him, come here. There are 7,000 who don't bow to the Baal. They will give their life for me. You did not see 7,000? Is it? So, what Elijah was doing? Looking himself in the mirror, I'm the only servant of God. I'm the only prophet of God. There is no one like me. I should preserve my life. Come on. Do you know the same number 7,000 is mentioned in the book of Revelation? So God is playing with numbers. He's not a man to tempt. The 7,000 that you see in the book of Elijah, it is written in the book of Revelation. Now Daniel was basically betrayed by the other wise counselors. They said there is no man. Because they said that Nebuchadnezzar was wroth in him. Kill everyone. When this happened, there is a big decree throughout the Babylon. Kill all the wise people. Daniel, your name is called. Hey, I was just eating, man. I don't know what happened. What happened? Tell me what happened. He don't know what happened at all. He was about to be judged to death because of presumptuous sin of those who are with him. What happened? You see how he escaped. Verse 14. Daniel and verse 13. And the decree went forth that the wise man should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Fellows means what? Fellowship. Not the fellows of this world. They wanted to destroy Daniel and his fellowship. Who? The servants of Babylon. Because of presumptuous sin. Verse 14, Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who was sent to kill, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. Daniel had the audacity to speak to him. He knows that that sword will not fall on him without God's permission. He speak to him, speak to me, before he kill me. Tell me why I'm being killed. I don't even know why. Verse 15, he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? That is, rushing, impatient, so fast. Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. My brethren, God who speak with Daniel did not reveal this thing to Daniel, but Arioch, the man who was sent to kill Daniel, made the thing known to Daniel. We should keep our mind, our eyes open, to listen to the voice of God, work of God, favor of God from all sides. Because help can come from anyone. Let me tell you, if Goliath was not killed, there was no hero David on the day. If David had to become a hero, some villain should be there. David knows. He took the armor of Goliath, kept in his house as a remembrance. If this man was not killed by me, who am I? Nobody respects him. In the fall of some, there is always the rise of God's children. We can never ever despise or judge anyone. Because those who fell, they will rise mightily, far above than you. And we will fall so miserably, much, much more deeper than them. Daniel knows. He says, verse 16, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give time. So this Daniel is man of buying grace from Prince of Eunuch, and buying grace from Prince, King of the Nebuchadnezzar, they gave him freely. Because God was with him. Now you understand why Daniel received time. This was the first sermon that talks about prayers of chapter 9, chapter 10. Second sermon concerning why we have to be very careful of the righteousness of God. and the discernment of what is God's purpose in this, what's happening around me. Now, since Daniel escaped two presumptuous attempts to be killed, now let's turn our Bible to Deuteronomy, where all the presumption started. This is the last book of Moses, the fifth book, which is called Torah in Hebrew scriptures, or Tanakh, the Holy Scriptures. Torah has five books. Then you have Nevi'im, book of prophets. Then you have Ketuvim, the rest of the history. The very last chapter for people as Gentiles is book of Revelation. The last verse is, the grace of Jesus Christ be with you all. Yes, what a fantastic verse to finish it. And the previous verse is, come Lord Jesus quickly. And we say amen. Correct? But do you know what is the very last chapter for book of the Hebrews? Do you know what is the very last verse of Tanakh? Because they don't read New Testament. They don't read New Testament. They have Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim. The very last book of the book of Hebrew, the book for Jews, is 2 Chronicles. Surprise! And the very last verse I'm going to show you, you will be even more surprised. The very last verse, the Jewish Holy Scriptures, Tanakh, ends is 2 Chronicles 36 verse 22, I believe. 2 Chronicles 36 verse 22. So that you understand why Daniel is standing between Jews and Apostle Paul. Chapter 36 verse 22 is the last verse for Tanakh, the last book. It says, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. This is how the last book of Jews, the last verse of Tanakh, ends. But for us, we will also go up, that is rapture, bride, but we will also receive a king, not the Cyrus the Persian, but Jesus Christ, the Lion of Judah. Which means the revelation of Jews is halfway cooked. They could not see the other side of what is about to come, because they chose not to touch the book of Gospel and the books of the betrayer called Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul is the Jeremiah of New Testament. As simple as that. His wisdom is also the New Testament Daniel's wisdom, which could not be understood by Jews. Now, Deuteronomy, why I wanted to show this to you? Because Deuteronomy is where it all began. Chapter 1, we are going to go through the series of presumptuous judgment as we continue. Chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm going to read verses from the last book of Moses. It holds significance, extreme importance. Last book of Moses. Verse 16. And I charged your judges at that time, saying, hear the causes between your brethren, and judge righteously between every man and his brother, and the stranger that is with him. But this was spoken to judges, not to the people. And those judges represent God's judgment in people's life, but it is not about people. For us, I have been mentioning, and I will mention, throughout the series, you stop at discernment. Judgment belongs to who? The true word that we should read is, the Lord was teaching to them through Moses how you should discern the body of Christ. He says the next verse, ye shall not respect persons in judgment, but ye shall hear the small as well as the great. Ye shall not be afraid of the face of man, and for the judgment is God's. So the previous words all about discerning. And the cause that is too hot for you, bring it unto me and I will hear it. Moses is speaking because he obeyed to the divine wisdom of Jethro, his father-in-law. It's a type. Now, the father-in-law is the one who gave the daughter to Moses. Amen? Now remember, God so loved the world, He gave His only Son. And for the son to marry the daughter that is bride of Christ, who gave the bride to Him? Who created all of us? For God is Spirit. Now keep this in your mind as we continue. Verse 18 it says, "And I commanded you at that time all the things which ye should do." So that is how the book begins. You see how it evolves over time. Same chapter, verse 43. I want you all to look at how Moses was dealing, because it was God who is dealing. Verse 43 says, "So I spake unto you, ye would not hear, but rebelled against me, the commandment of the Lord, and went presumptuously up into the hill." So let me write the title of the sermon. Presumptuous judgment. And the Lord says, you rebelled against me with your presumption. And He says, in the same book, chapter 16. Let's go to chapter 16. You see how it continues. Deuteronomy 16. Chapter 16. This is during the time of Passover and Tabernacles. Verse 16 says, "Three times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Lord thy God in the place which He shall choose." Not you shall choose. The Lord will choose the place. So wherever Moses was pitching the tent, which was heavily hated by the people to the point where they were about to stone him to death. And the Lord says, wherever He wants them to report to, and it says, in the feast of unleavened bread, and in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles, they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Look at verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which He hath given thee. It is not about financial, materialistic blessing. It is your life as a living sacrifice. Ask yourself, in these 7 days, this day we gather, was it the best we gave to the Lord? In singing, in praying, in listening, in meditating, in presenting ourselves in the court of the Lord. The rest of 7 days, we sleep 8 hours a day. We work 16 hours a day for the Pharaoh. We earn money. We report to so many people. Is it the best of the best of the best that we give to the Lord when we gather for Him? The Lord knows. We can say so many things, but the Lord, we are naked to His sight. And verse 18 says, "Judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates." Which means Moses is setting double-edged sword in all the gates. That's a type of the gates of Jerusalem, comes later. He says, "Which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout thy tribes, they shall judge the people with just judgment." But judgment doesn't belong to hands of men. The righteousness of men worketh nothing. What is it? Discernment in truth by the leading of God who is Spirit, who is righteous, that His judgment may manifest and glorify His name. They were not representing people because they were representing God's kingdom. And the next verse says, "Thou shalt not wrest judgment, and thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift." Now is the reason Daniel said, "Keep your gift with you." You know who I am. I'm from family of Jacob, Abraham, Levi, Moses, David. Keep your gift with you. Moses, Daniel, David would never want to feel obligated. The only obligation that they belong is to God and God alone. And Daniel says, "Keep your gift with you, Belshazzar. I'm not working for you as an employee. I'm a servant of God," says Daniel. Why? Because it was a command from Moses. And what he says concerning the word gift. For a gift does blind the eyes of the wise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Someone spoke this, right? 5 grace, 24 elders. Gospel of Matthew chapter 5 verse 24. Jesus says, if you want to come and offer the gift at the altar, make sure you are in peace with your body of Christ. If you are not, go and sort out. If not, do not come to the altar to offer the gift, for it is a rebellion against God. Moses said that, Paul said that, Daniel said that, the word gift, Jesus Christ said that. And here we continue, it says verse 20, that which is altogether just shall thou follow, that thou mayest live and inherit the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Verse 21, thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord thy God, this thou shalt make thee, neither shalt thou set thee up any image which the Lord thy God hateth. The story of today's ministries. If the Lord says, this is my truth, altar that is made of chief cornerstone, where people are part of it, don't grow any other tree next to the tree of life, what the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. The Lord says, let it be the truth, the whole truth, nothing else. But today, doctrine is corrupted, polluted, added with so many trees. And the image of God is replaced by image of men. People worship ministers. Story of today's world. What a shame. Do you know how the Lord calls all of them? Numbers chapter 15 verse 30. Let's turn Numbers chapter 15 verse 13. You see how the Lord calls them. It says, continuing from Deuteronomy, one book before, chapter 15 verse 30, the Lord also called them as presumptuous because it is prediction. Verse 30 says, the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Why? The next verse. Because he had despised the word of the Lord and had broken his commandment, and the soul shall utterly be cut off, and this iniquity upon him. My brethren, do you know the time when it was spoken? Look at the next chapter. What is next chapter? The burial process of Korah and the burning process of 250 elders. But the Lord spoke this one chapter before. The next chapter, practical demonstration. Because he is a doer, not a speaker. He said this before he did this. Chapter 16 is doing, 15 saying. Did he stop there? Continue Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Verse 11. Now it goes to a higher level. Chapter 17 verse 11. It says, according to the sentence of the law which they shall teach thee, and according to the judgment which they shall tell thee, thou shalt do. Thou shalt not decline from the sentence which they shall shew thee, to the right hand or to the left. That is God's promise to Joshua. Don't turn to the right or the left. It says, the Lord says, judgment is waiting for you on the right side and the left side. Hold on to my salvation, escape my judgment. Focus on the narrow path. Look at the next verse. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. And all the people shall hear and fear and do more presumptuously. How serious the word presumptuously. Chapter 18, the next chapter. Verse 20. Verse 20. Now it takes to next layer. But the prophet, the Lord hits at the prophet level. But the prophet, which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. Prophet Hananiah, who rebelled against prophet Jeremiah, who said so many prophecies, and the Lord let him die in the same year. And there are so many examples of this. And the Lord says, if my name is used for any reasoning, for any justification, any false interpretation, I will inquire thee. Why? Why? The Lord saved his people for his great name's sake, that his name will not be profaned. But he magnified his word above his name. Now remember this. Look at the next verse. Verse 21. That is the definition of presumption. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Times of Moses speaks about times of Gentiles now. Because God tells Daniel through Gabriel, consider the vision, it is for many days. Until the grace period ends, the name of God, the way he glorifies, known only to him. And for the rest of us, we don't fall into the traps of presumptuous judgment. Because Jesus said, he that hated his brother killed him in his heart because he presumed, given the circumstance, given the opportunity, you would kill him the same way Cain killed Abel. And Jesus says, blasphemy against Son of Man will be forgiven, but blasphemy against the Holy Ghost? Nay. Why? That's a different level of presumptuous act. May the Lord guide us. Why the sermon began with Psalm 19? Because David had the fear of God. Lord, I don't want the presumptuous sin to take over me. I don't want the presumptuous sin to bring down the anointing that you have put upon me. If he kills Saul, he is gone. He killed Uriah, he fell. That is the reason Solomon was trembling. When the temple was consecrated, he knelt down and said, Lord, grant me the discernment to judge your people according to your will and pleasure. Because Solomon knows why the father was scared. And the father knows what happened throughout and what happens now. Amen. Let's all stand as I close. Exodus 24. Let's all read and we close the sermon. Exodus 21, verse 24. Exodus 21, verse 24. Let's read one verse. Verse 14. Exodus 21, verse 14. But if a man come presumptuously upon his neighbor to slay him with a girl, thou shalt take him from mine altar that he may die. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is not a barbaric punishment. It is a spiritual warning. The Lord tells all of us. Bible says, the prophet Ezekiel and the prophets of God, they brought the people of God closer to the altar, and the altar was restored and they were healed. Why? The altar is the chief cornerstone. We are all parts of the altar. But the Lord says, when you embrace your own understanding, your stone will fall from the altar. Because the lively stone has no room for deadly stone. That is presumptuous sin. And the Exodus says, that will be taken away from altar. And once I leave the presence of God, I am dead. Not the physical death. Spiritually. Book of Romans says, we are walking dead. My brethren, the Lord has put all of us in the altar of him. He is the sacrifice. And may the Lord bless us that we are able, as a child of God, not in between the Babel. Because Babel is Babylon, which is presumptuous judgment. But Jerusalem is submitting to God's will. Amen. God bless you all. Let's all pray. Our Lord, our God, the only judge, the only righteous judge, the Holy One, the Mighty One, the reason of my life, the purpose of my life, and the reason of my salvation, the one who showed his everlasting kindness and mercy to deliver every one of us, O Lord. May you teach us to learn from Daniel, and may you teach us to learn from Moses, and may you teach us, O Lord, to learn from our very own mistakes, the best teacher within us, the flesh of our life, the adversity that is working against us. Help us, Lord, that we glorify the name of Almighty, not to take side with the adversity. Help us, Lord, that we set our eyes on eternity, not on vanity. And we humbly surrender the same way David said, keep thy servants from the sin of presumptuous acts. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom.